When central banks move rates, everyone watching focuses on, you know, that single number, the cost of borrowing.
Right. Is mortgage getting cheaper?
Exactly. Will I pay more next month? But there is a much, much deeper mechanism at play here that really shapes the financial resilience of the entire economy. And it has almost nothing to do with the level of interest rates. Today, we are taking a deep dive into the very plumbing of the UK mortgage market. We want to uncover how specific monetary policy choices don't just affect the price of your loan, but the fundamental structure of that loan.
So the type of product you're even offered.
Precisely. We're asking, is the central bank's choice of instrument inadvertently influencing you to choose a shorter, maybe riskier fixed-rate mortgage over a longer, safer one?
Well, our analysis is anchored in an incredibly revealing academic paper. It provides just amazing loan-level evidence for this very structural shift. The research is titled Monetary Policy and Mortgage Fixation Lengths. It's a staff working paper, number 1158, published in November 2025, and the authors are Aniruddha Rajan, Frances Rodriguez-Tooze, and Mauricio Salgado Moreno.
And what's the headline finding?
The abstract really lays it out beautifully. It says the paper studies how monetary policy affects the fixation structure of mortgage contracts. And that structure is crucial for determining how household consumption adjusts after a policy change.
So how quickly you feel the pain or the relief?
Exactly. And using this incredibly granular UK loan-level data, the authors find that lenders adjust their supply of fixed-rate mortgages following changes in the term spread.
The slope of the yield curve.
The slope of the yield curve, not just the overall level of interest rates. And this whole effect is driven by the bank's need for interest rate risk management. And critically, its severity varies dramatically depending on the tool the central bank is using.
Wow, that is a staggering claim. Most of us just assume policy works through the headline rates, but this is telling us the real nuances in the slope.
It really is.
So, our mission today is to unpack the mechanics behind this. I mean, why does the steepness of the yield curve matter more to a bank's supply than the rate itself? And what does this mean for you when you're deciding between, say, a 2-year or a 5-year fixed-rate mortgage?
Okay, so to start, let's just establish why the fixation length is even a policy matter. If a country's mortgage market is mostly adjustable rate, any central bank policy change transmits almost instantly.
Right, it hits your wallet immediately. An immediate impact, but that also means the economic pain starts right away.
Exactly. But the UK market, which is what we're looking at, is different. Mortgages with longer fixation periods, the fixed-rate mortgages, or FRMs, they temporarily insulate the borrower from these shocks.
And the UK is a perfect case study for this,
It's
right?
perfect because FRMs have consistently made up, over 90% of new lending since 2013, and the market is dominated by these 2-year and 5-year products. So the duration of that insulation period is key.
And it's being determined in part by the central bank's actions.
That's the argument. Now, to study this, the researchers needed, unprecedented data granularity. They use a combination of really powerful sources. The core data comes from the Financial Conduct Authority's Product Sales Database, PSD001.
So that's basically every single mortgage transaction in the UK.
The universe of them. Loan size, rates, fixation periods, borrower details, all of it. They then cross-reference this with lender portfolio data to understand each bank's pre-existing risk exposure.
Okay, but that sounds comprehensive. But here's where the methodology becomes, well, a heroic feat of data science, right? They had the date the loan closed, but the policy shock happened at the offer date. That could be months earlier.
And that was the biggest empirical challenge. If you don't get the timing of the offer right, your analysis is essentially flawed. The rate at the execution date is irrelevant to the decision.
So how did they solve that?
Their solution was just ingenious and highly complex. They brought in product offering data from a company called MoneyFacts. They then ran this huge matching algorithm, merging the actual transaction data with the published product data.
Matching on what? Lender, rate?
Everything. Lender, fixation length, interest rate, other terms, across a pretty generous 0 to 12 month window.
So they were basically building a timeline detective system that'd say, okay, this customer took out a 5-year fixed rate at 4.5% on July 1st. When did that exact product become available from that bank?
Precisely. And that allowed them to infer the most probable offer timing, which overcomes that data lag problem. This matching process gave them this massive final data set of about 1.4 million observations. So granular.
Let's talk about that identification strategy, because correlation is not causation. Markets are always moving. The challenge is to filter out all that noise and isolate the punch that's delivered solely and unexpectedly by the central bank.
Right. They use the sophisticated econometric methodology, the panel local projection framework, the LP framework.
Yeah.
It's ideal for estimating how these mortgage outcomes respond over time. But the key, the absolute key to causality, was the instrumental variables approach, the IV approach.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
To isolate the pure monetary policy shock, they didn't just look at the monthly change in the term spread, the five-year yield minus the two-year yield. They instrumented that monthly change using the high-frequency term spread surprise.
Hold on. For our listener, when you say high-frequency surprise, help us visualize that. Are we talking about researchers watching screens minute by minute?
We are. It is the cleanest way to measure a true shock. They only looked at changes in government bond yields, the gilt yields, in a very, very tight 30-minute window around a central bank policy announcement.
So if the governor gives a speech and the market suddenly jumps in those 30 minutes...
That reaction is considered an exogenous, policy-driven variation. It's the true causal punch, stripped of all the external noise and what the market already expected.
Okay, so they perfected a filter to only look at the central bank actions that really surprised people. So what did those surgically isolated punches reveal about how lenders behave?
The revelation is twofold. First, the conventional wisdom. It's largely dismissed. Lenders do not significantly alter the relative supply of two-year versus five-year products in response to changes in the overall level of interest rates.
So the headline rate doesn't really change the mix of products they push?
Not in a persistent way. Any small shift that occurs just dissipates within 4 months or so. The cost level is secondary.
So what about the slope?
The slope is the primary driver. This is the core finding. Changes in the term spread, the steepness or flatness of the yield curve, have a much stronger, far more persistent influence on what mortgage product the bank is willing to sell you.
Can you quantify that for us?
Absolutely. A one standard deviation increase in the term spread, so the yield curve is steepening, long-term rates are rising faster than short-term ones, that leads to a reduction in the relative price of five-year fixed-rate mortgages by over 10 basis points compared to two-year ones.
So the longer-term mortgage gets cheaper.
Cheaper. And at the same time, they saw a peak 40% relative increase in the volume of five-year FRMs being issued.
Wait, a lower price and a higher quantity of the five-year product. That combination,
yeah.
That has to be the smoking gun, doesn't it?
It is the conclusive evidence of a supply-side mechanism. Lenders are actively, intentionally pushing their supply toward the longer fixation product when the curve steepens. They are shifting what they offer you.
And this is where that IV strategy really shines. I remember reading that when they looked at the raw, uninstrumented data, what you or I would just see month to month, they actually observed the opposite.
The exact opposite. Longer fixations actually became more expensive.
So that's the proof of causality.
It's a critical detail. If you just watch the raw market data, you see all the expectations and other information mixed in, and it gives you a misleading signal. But once they isolated that pure, unexpected policy shock, the results just flipped. It showed the bank's immediate risk-driven reaction.
So we've established that when the curve steepens, banks start pushing longer loans. But why? I mean, if a steepening curve signals that long-term rates are expected to be higher, why would a bank want to lock in more of that long-term risk? What is this duration risk management motive?
This gets us into portfolio dynamics. Think about it. A bank that issues a lot of fixed rate mortgages is holding fixed rate assets. Their income is locked in for, say, 5 years, but they fund those assets through deposits, which are often short term or have variable rates.
So their income is fixed, but their costs can go up.
Exactly.
Oy.
When the term spread increases, long rates shoot up relative to short rates, the bank experiences a greater crystallization of that duration risk. They're exposed, so they respond by rebalancing. Issuing more long fixation mortgages actually helps them restore their overall risk exposure. They're using the new loans to hedge their existing book.
So the banks that are already heavily invested in fixed rate mortgages are the ones amplifying this policy shock. That feels a little counterintuitive.
You'd think they'd pull back, but they're the ones with the most acute risk management need. They're almost forced to act. But what's even more fascinating is the state dependence of this whole thing, this supply shift toward longer fixations. It happens only during expansionary monetary policy episodes.
Meaning only when the central bank surprises the market by easing unexpected declines in short-term rates, and the curve steepens as a result of that.
Precisely. If you look at contractionary episodes, when rates rise unexpectedly, lenders actually do the opposite. They seek to reduce the length of their mortgage fixation in response to a term spread increase.
That's a huge asymmetry.
It is. It shows the effect is highly dependent on the overall rate regime, which leads us directly to the tools the central bank uses, because different instruments manipulate the yield curve in fundamentally different ways.
Okay, so let's compare the two primary tools. The target factor, which is your conventional interest rate hike, and the QE factor from asset purchases.
Okay. When the central bank does a contractionary target factor surprise, a surprise rate hike, it typically flattens the yield curve. Short-term rates go up more than long-term rates.
And consistent with the mechanism.
It raises the relative cost of five-year FRMs. It encourages shorter fixations. But a contractionary QE factor surprise, where the central bank starts selling assets or reduces purchases, that tends to steepen the curve.
And that would do the opposite.
Exactly. It generates a persistent decline in the relative price of five-year FRMs, pushing supply toward the longer products. The path factor, which is forward guidance, that had a pretty limited impact compared to the other two.
So depending on whether the Bank of England tightens policy through a conventional rate hike or by ramping up quantitative tightening, they are essentially pushing the structure of the mortgage market in opposite directions.
That's right. And this difference between the asset purchase cycles is the final and, I think, strongest piece of evidence. The research specifically compares the QE period, so pre-February 2022, with the quantitative tightening, or QT, period after that.
And what did they find?
Contractionary QE shocks, so reducing purchases, increase the supply of longer fixation mortgages during that active QE phase. But once the regime switched to outright asset sales, to QT, these effects reversed entirely.
Reversed in both price and quantity.
Both. And they became materially stronger. This means the transmission mechanism isn't just instrument-specific, it's also regime-specific. QT is having a distinct and powerful effect on household risk exposure that we didn't fully anticipate from the QE experience.
This research has just fundamentally changed how we should view monetary transmission. We've gone from this hyper-granular data matching all the way to the central bank's choice of weapon. Let's synthesize the main takeaways for you, the listener.
I think there are two main takeaways. First, monetary policy transmission through the mortgage market is primarily governed by the yield curve slope, not the level. Lenders are managing their duration risk, and the steepness of the curve is the key signal.
And the second?
Second, this transmission is highly state-dependent and instrument-specific. QE, QT, and conventional rate targets all have fundamentally different consequences for the mortgage contracts that are available to you.
And here is the final long-term implication. Those policies that compress long-term yields relative to short-term yields, like certain aspects of QE cycles, they tend to tilt the mortgage supply towards shorter fixation lengths.
Pushing people towards two-year deals instead of five-year ones.
Exactly. Which means that by choosing a specific instrument, the central bank is directly influencing the future sensitivity of household consumption to interest rate fluctuations. Mm-hmm. So here's the provocative thought to leave you with. If policymakers rely more on these QE and QT cycles, which profoundly manipulate that slope, are they inadvertently making UK households systematically more vulnerable to future rate shocks by encouraging a greater supply of those shorter two-year fixation periods? It raises a serious structural question about the safety net beneath the consumer that goes far, far beyond the headline interest rate.